The last few weeks we've been speaking about people who don't have enough money to repay their loan. We spoke about how much property they have to sell to pay the loan, what's it called, they don't have the money, whether they have to work to repay, which we think there is a mitzvah to work to repay the loan, if you're able to. Last week we spoke about the prohibition against pressuring someone who doesn't have money. If he really doesn't have the money, you can't pressure him. That's a Isser D'oraisa, Altiyas Lo Kenosha, to pressure someone to pay money if they don't have the money to repay it. And this week we're going to go to the extreme where the person really doesn't have the money and he declares bankruptcy. And what does that have ramifications there in halacha? If someone, we're talking about personal bankruptcy this week. Next week we'll talk about corporate bankruptcy. But someone who, I think you know more about it than I do, someone who has
the American side.
Right. That's if someone has a lot of debt, according to American law, he can declare different forms of bankruptcy, and all the creditors get a certain amount of money per dollar of their debt. And the question is, does that have any ramifications in halacha? What do I mean? I mean, this year the bankruptcy court ruled that you can only collect 70 cents on the dollar, 30 cents on the dollar, and a few years go by and the person comes out of bankruptcy and he has a new business now and he's making a lot of money, more than you are. Can you go and say, I want the rest of my money back? According to American law, you can't, right? How about according to halacha? Is there anything in halacha that would prevent you from getting that extra money you never paid? The first area that we have to think about, right, would there be one reason to think why it's over now?
Right, you get the discharge and you can't go after him for the money.
Right, and in halacha,
right.
In halacha, what is that? That's mechila, we talked about from the beginning. Right, we said in the very beginning, we said mechila b'leiv doesn't work if you just think you're mochel alone. But if you're actually mochel alone, so let's learn a little bit of Gemara Sanhedrin. The Braita says like this, Sanhedrin Zavava Mer Alf, Bitzua Vishlosha. You know, sometimes you get over din Torah and you want to paskin api halacha. You know, pull out the Shulchan Aruch and see what I owe, exactly api din. Sometimes you agree that the psak should be a bitzua, should be a pshara, should be a compromise. Now, how many judges do you need to make a compromise type psak? So the Rameir holds, you need three dayonim, three judges to arbitrate a pshara psak, just like you need for a regular psak. The chachamim say pshara be yachid, a compromise can be judged by one single judge. You don't need three judges like you have by a regular din Torah. The Gemara says on that, that's not our issue. The Gemara wants to bring another issue. Omer Ravashi, Shmami No. Let's learn from Rav Meir, who says you need three dayonim, pshara eino tzricha kinyan, that for a pshara to work, you don't need to make a kinyan. The e talgadaitik tzricha kinyan, because if you hold that for a pshara to work, that you need to make a kinyan, and we'll see soon from Tosis when that kinyan is made, lamando amet tzricha t'laso lamali, if you hold that you need the one who holds that you need three judges, lamali, why does Rav Meir say you need three judges? Tiske betray, have two judges make the compromise. But look, let me then make a kinyan. These two judges will be Adam. What do you need three judges for? So Gemara assumes it must be because you don't make a kinyan. The Gemara though says Hilchos Alochos Pshara Tzricha Kinyan. Pshara really does need a kinyan. Why do you need three judges? Tosfos says that if you only had two, it would be a kinyan betos, because they might not make a proper compromise. That's why you need three judges to make a proper compromise, plus a kinyan. So the Gemara concludes, halacha l'maisa, paskin and shulchan aruch, simin yodesiv zayin, af alpishin israta barli dinin bibshara de bezin, even though they agreed to have a compromise in bezin, yicholim l'achter b'em, they could change their mind, kol zaman shalokonim yodim, as long as there was no kinyan made, de pshara tzricha kinyan. A compromise decision requires a kinyan, and if there's no kinyan, the Baal Edin, the litigants, just change their mind and say, look, I didn't think it was going to go this bad, and I'm not agreeing with that. So you have to make a kinyan for the pshara to be valid. It could be a kinyan, sudr, handkerchief, it could be any type of kinyan. Any parashat kinyan is with a kinyan sudr. Make a kinyan that you're agreeing to whatever we decide here, and make a kinyan. Now, when is this kinyan made? So Tosfos has a whole chocolate attire here. We'll read the Tosfos together because of what's going to come out of it. In the farish, the kinyan shal pshara osin lahem kodem hapshara. Now, what Tosfos wants is bothered with is there's something called pshara, but there's also something we spoke about called mechila. But so Tosfos wants to know if from the fact that Gemara requires a kinyan for a pshara, do you also need a kinyan if I'm being mochel? It's time if you owe me money and I want to be mochel you the money that I owe you, do I need to make a kinyan for that? Because it could be like a pshara, because what happens when you have a pshara? I say you owe me $10,000, you say I don't owe you a penny, so we'll compromise that I'll take $7,000. So what's happening is that I hold I'm being mochel you $3,000 of the $10,000 that you owe me. You hold that I'm giving you $7,000, I don't have to. Right? But I hold that I'm being mochel $3,000 of the $10,000 that you owe me. So in every pshara, by definition, there's going to be some mechila involved. So the issue in Tosfos is, can we learn from our Gemara that if a pshara requires a kinyan, so then maybe every time you want to be mochel someone, that also requires a kinyan, because that's why the pshara needs the kinyan. So Tosfos says, that's not so simple. It depends when this kinyan is made by the pshara. Tosfos says, im nefarish the kinyan shal pshara osin kodem hapshara. If this kinyan for the pshara is made before you hear the compromise decision, is when you go into the din Torah, you make a kinyan that we accept whatever compromise you decide, and konezem is the alaskus kumashayim hadayonim. They make a kinyan for one another to carry out whatever the dayanim say, pain l'shalim, whether they'll have to pay, pain rumchol, or whether they'll have to be mochol, right? I say, you owe me $10,000, you say, I don't owe you anything, so you're going to be agreeing to make a kinyan, I'll agree to pay whatever he tells me, and I'm agreeing to be mochol, whatever less than the $10,000 you give me. So if that's when the kinyan is made, ein l'datek mikan d'ma'ama mechilo suricha kinyan, then you can't prove that in a normal case, where I know that you owe me $5,000 and I mochol you, you can't prove from there that you need a kinyan. Because the mashitzar chacha kinyan ala mechila, you mean you need a kinyan over here for the mechila person. That's mishum di lav havi kinyan, because if there would be no kinyan, havi mechila betaos. It could be a mechila betaos. You know, when we went into this, I had great proof that you owe me $10,000, and you had no case at all. So, okay, I'll agree to a pshar. I thought I'd get $9,500. Right, that's what I was willing to be mochel. Now they're telling me that I'm only getting $7,000, I'm only getting $5,000. I never agreed to that. That's a mechila betos. So that's why you have to make a kinyan. Why isn't it a kinyan betos? Tosfos goes further, says, because once it's that's strong, we don't go that far to say it's a kinyan betos. So anyway, Tosfos says like this: if the kinyan you're making is before you hear the compromise, so then you can't prove anything about the rules of mechila, whether mechila requires a kinyan, because that's now when I don't know when I'm being mochel, that's when I have to make a kinyan. But when I know that you owe me $5,000 and I'm being mochel that to you, I don't need to make a kinyan. It's called right away because I know when I'm being mochel, you don't need a kinyan. Then Tosfos goes further. Afil in the farish al kinyan hula achra pshara. Even if you want to say that the kinyan is taking place after the pshara, that's what the Gemara says, that after the dayanim make a pshara, at that point the litigants have to make a kinyan, otherwise the pshara doesn't work. So now he knows how much he has to be mochel. I wanted $10,000 for you, didn't want to give me a penny. But Dayanim said, let's compromise and take $7,000. So now, why do I have to make a kinyan if I'm the one getting the $7,000? Because I'm being mochel you three of the thousand, and it's not going to be binding unless I make a kinyan. So, lechora, we have a raya from here that if to be mochel someone, I need to make a kinyan. So Tosfos says, no, akati in your raya, there's still no proof from here. The Matsu the Memer, because you could say that Kinyan al Osa Sheyeshu Achel Lefroa, Eino Chinami. When we're making the Kinyan after the Pshar, it's not for me who is only getting $7,000 and I'm being mochel at $3,000. I don't need that Kinyan. You need the Kinyan because you thought you weren't going to pay a penny and now you have to pay $7,000 for that his chayvus for that obligation to take place, you need to make a kinyan. But for me, who was mochel, that I'm getting 7 instead of 10, ain't our kinyan, I wouldn't need that kinyan. So Tosu says, either way, we have no proof from this Gemara that a mechila needs a kinyan. It's only Shara needs a kinyan because either the kinyan is made before you know how much you're being mochel, or if it's made afterwards, it's for the other guy. It's for the person who's having to pay. But for me, who is being mochel, that I don't need a kinyan. Then Tosa says, and we'll need this vara. The miyav halacha is gadol. If you bring shem v'had pirish, the tzara kinyan ala mechila apav yishaosin a kinyan achar pshara. The Bahag says no. After the pshara is made, the compromise is made. That's when you make the kinyan, and the kinyan is necessary for both parties. It's necessary for you who have to pay the $7,000, and it's necessary for me who is being mochel the $3,000. Why do I need to make a kinyan here? You can't learn from here to other cases of mechila that require a kinyan. The mechila shayidei pshara, when the mechila is coming about through a pshara, through a din Torah, even though you know what you're being mochel, you know at this point of being mochel that $3,000, dama le mechila betos. It's still similar to a mechila betos. Because I could say, look, I was forced into this. The dayanim gave me no choice. They said, here, take $7,000 or leave it. And I had to accept it, otherwise I'd leave it. That's why you need a kinyan. So Tosus's maskan is, the Gemara's maskan is that a pshara, a compromise, needs a kinyan. Tosus says, there's no proof from here that a mechila needs a kinyan. First of all, it could be mechila never needs a kinyan. And even if in this case mechila does need a kinyan, it's only in the case of the pshara, where I came into this as a din Torah, and I'm really, I would prefer not to be here. It wasn't on my own volition I'm being mochel you. It's because the dayanim said, okay, look, we make a compromise, be mochel $3,000, so there, if I don't make the kinyan, I could change my mind, I could renege on that mechila. But in a normal case, where I on my own volition agree to be mochel you, achov, so in that case, certainly that mechila works without a kinyan. Those are the rules from Tosus, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's if Ches, Simon Yod Beis, Mechila Eina Tzricha Kinyan, Mechila does not require a Kinyan, and like we just said in Siv Zayin, it said that Pshara does require a Kinyan, because the Pshara, however you learn it, either because the Pshara, the Kinyan is beforehand, or even if the Kinyan is afterwards, according to Tosus, it's for the person who has to pay, and the Mochel person doesn't have to make a Kinyan at all, even according to the Bahag, that the one that's Mochel has to make a Kinyan, that's because he was forced into it. It was against his will. But the Yuches, a normal person who's just being mochel, look, I see that you're in bad straits and you're my friend, I'm mochel, so you can never retract that mechila. Now the Maram Milublin has a shayla where, based on this sugya, his case was that Shimon and Levi owed Reuven a lot of money. Yeah, I have it. It's on the handout. Reuven Yeshel Pinkas Hadayanim Shimon or Levi. Reuven has some judgment that Shimon and Levi owe him Sach Yadua L'Shaim Kol Yerid V'Gimel Zehuvim. They have to pay 3 Zehuvim every Yerid. I don't know, every sale. There's a judgment that Shimon and Levi owe Reuven a lot of money. V'nei Shimon V'Levi Hitziru Bo. Shimon and Levi persuaded Reuven Machmash Ein Lehem L'Shaim. They don't have that much money. Kol Kachuz Manim Anah to make those payments according to that payment plan. Ashen is Rats Reuven, so Reuven agreed to make a more lenient payment plan. Va'ata Reuven wrote to Lachzavam in Apshara, and now Reuven wants to renege on this Pshara that he made. So the Maram Paskins, Pshara Kazush and Nasis Mirosin Hatoshal Hamalva. This Pshara, which the Mala made with his own volition, with his own goodwill, B'lishum Hechrakla, he was not forced into it at all, wasn't any arbitration, there was no Bezdin, there was no Dintori, just on his own. They spoke to him, he said, okay, I'm Ochel you. Nira be'ena sheyesh l'din mechila. This has a din mechila. Ve'en tzricha kinyan sudar, and doesn't need any kinyan sudar. And Reuven cannot change his mind because this is a case that you spoke to me, and I see you have problems. I agree on my own volition to give you a break. So that's a mechila. That mechila needs no kinyan. It's binding as is, and I can't change my mind.
Yeah, but that
you can lie, and I can lie and say I didn't do it. But we're talking honest people. If I know that I gave you that break, I can't renege on it.
We're assuming an absence of fraud here. Yeah, I never knew they had those oil wells.
Yeah, we're not talking. Yeah, we're talking that he wasn't tricked. Right, then it will be mechila b'tzalos. Right, we've spoken about that. Right, if he tricks him, we'll talk about that next week more. Right, if they lie to him and based on that he was mochlas mechila b'tzalos, we said if they get a Yerusha later, so that's not mechila b'tzalos because at that time they didn't have it. It was something that occurred later. At that time they're lying. That's mechila b'tzalos.
So that's the first part of the Maran.
Now the Maran continues in the next section. So if that's the case of mechila, as soon as I'm mochel, if the words are out of my mouth, and if I have the full authority over that, I can't take it back and it's all over. Unless I was tricked. Now the Maran continues. Lo mikri pisharet esvicha kinyan. When do we say it's called a pshar? It's a compromise. That's called a kinyan. Ela kishen nazis aidei tviya. If it was made as a tviya, I'm taking you into a dintora. The tainus and they're tainus and they're going to a dintora. Shekol echo yoresem o yafsidakol min adin. But everyone is afraid that they're going to lose everything in a dintora, where everything's at risk. And there you agree. Okay, so I'm agreeing to a pshar. I'm agreeing to arbitration. So there, just because you decided I have to pay I only get $7,000, my mechila is not binding, because there I was forced into it. If I didn't agree to this, I get nothing. So I agreed to it, and I'm stuck with this agreement. And that's, if there's no kinyan made, it's not binding. And he doesn't say it, but I think that's like the Tosus, like the story we saw in Tosus. That Tosus said, even if you hold that you need a kinyan by the pshara, but by stam mechila you wouldn't. Why? Because by the mechila you were forced into it. The dayanim forced you. They gave you that advice. I mean, the Maram is going with that also. And this is a big nachkamin and halacha. He's saying that any time you agree to take less than what's owed to you, if that was because you were scared you were going to lose all your money in din, there'd be some din and you lose everything, and you agree to this compromise, if you don't make a kinyan, it's not a binding mechila, it's a pshara, and a pshara requires a kinyan for it to be binding. But that's what the Maram paskins. Now based on this Maram, the Amnei Tzedek, he was a Sigatur Dayan. I don't have it. Someone's supposed to show it to me tomorrow, the Sefer Yochanan. No, today someone has it. But they bring down the Avnei Tzedek. He paskins, based on this, that if someone declares bankruptcy, that's, I guess, was occurring in his time, if someone declares bankruptcy, and based on that, everyone was accepting a certain percentage or the dollar, even if they sign and say they're accepting this as payment, I accept this as payment in full, but they didn't make any kinyan, so that will be like a pshara, which requires a kinyan. Because why did you accept this bankruptcy account? Because the guy said he has no money, and the courts are asking all the creditors to come, and will give you a certain percent based on what you prove that he owes you. So you go in there, and they say, look, he has this amount of debts and this amount of assets. You get 30 cents on a dollar, and you agree to take the 30 cents on the dollar, even if you sign it, you agree to take 30 cents on the dollar. So you didn't make any kinyan there, so you just got what he gave you at that time. If later on he ends up having more money, there's no reason to say that you have committed yourself not to be mochel the rest. But the only way you would not be able to collect the rest is through mechila. And this is not a typical case of mechila, because this is already gets into the pshara category, and for the pshara category, why is it in the pshara category? Because you lose everything if you don't agree. And once it's in the pshara category, if you don't make a kinyan, so then you have the right to say, look, I agreed at that time, I was forced, I had no other choice, and so I accepted that, and now I want to rest. I knew it would be good if someone was doing a kosher bankruptcy to make a kinyan. Yeah, they make a kinyan and then it becomes binding. But if no kinyan is made, so that would be something that would not have any validity in Alpi Din Torah through the Mechila. The Betel HaChochma had a case which is also very common, and he says that's even worse. He says, like, sometimes you have a person who has a lot of big creditors. You know, he owes his house and he owes a car. He has a lot of big money, and he can't afford those payments anymore, and the bank comes to make him bankrupt to collect all his big assets, and then he has some few small creditors who don't even have a choice in the matter. You know, they just they just the banks tell them if, or the bankruptcy court says, if you don't accept this this deal that all the other due creditors get, you either take it or leave it, you won't get anything. So he says, there for sure. That's even worse in this case. Yeah, I didn't even make a pshara. I didn't make. You can't even say I made a mechila. I had no choice in the matter. You sent me the check based on what the debt was, and I didn't have any say in it. I never agreed that you could paskin it. It was based on your deal with the banks, for the house, his big debt. So then I certainly didn't have any say in that matter. So you couldn't call that a mechila, and it's for sure, and it's certainly. It's even worse than a pshara because I never entered into this litigation here. So in his case, where it was that they were just like a outside person, he said in that case for sure, when the person gets more money later, he has all the right to collect it. So that is the first part, and that is to say that strictly speaking, in halacha, well, I was mochlet by accepting this lesser amount. And once I mochel it, I shouldn't be able to collect the rest later. So that doesn't seem to hold much water in these cases of bankruptcy, because even if you were a litigant, so then it has a din of a pshara, and a pshara requires a kinyan to be binding. Otherwise we say, look, I accepted what I could at the time, I had no choice, and I'll just accept the rest later. And certainly if you weren't an interested party in the litigation, you didn't even enter into the pshara, and whatever you get, you can say thank you, this is part of what you owe me, and when you get more money later, you still owe it to me. You know, debts could last for years and years. So there's no statute of limitations that after 25 years the debt wears out. You still owe me the money, you lent you the money in good faith, and you have to pay it back to me. I see you don't have the money now, I won't pressure you. I'll see you at Kenosha. I see you don't have the money, I'm not going to pressure you. Unless I see that you could work, or that you can, you have some assets more than they left you. But if I see you get the money, you have the obligation to pay me. And looking on the debtor's side, if he has declared bankruptcy and everyone accepted 30 cents on the dollar, he shouldn't look at it as they were mochel him. And now he's potter, and they give him a present. They took this now because this is what they could get, and if he ever has a turn in fortune that things improve, he'll have to pay back the rest. That's what we have until now. But there's two other possible reasons why this should work, why a bankruptcy might work. The first is, we always have to deal with dina de malchus adina. If this is the law of the land, so maybe we should have to follow the law of the land.
Is that called Dina de Malchusa or Minika Maka?
We're going to talk about both. Those are the two last issues we'll talk about. Let's first talk about Dina de Malchusa Dina. We know there's a rule, there's a halacha, that in certain areas the Dina de Malchusa is Dina. The law of the land counts. If, you know, the government says you have to pay taxes, the law is you have to pay taxes. As long as the taxes are fair, they're not directed only against the Jews like they were at certain times. But if it's a fair system that applies equally to everyone, and we live in a certain country, we have to pay taxes. That's dinah malchus adinah. There's no way out of that. So I used to hear they quoted as saying Rav Moshe held that bankruptcy also goes into the dinah de malchus adinah. But if you look at this truth of Rav Moshe, it's very limited what he says. Rav Moshe is talking about a case where there's a bankruptcy court, and different people were trying to get the money because they see that he's going bankrupt, and so the different creditors were trying to snatch the money different ways ahead of time and to try to beat the bankruptcy court, even though it was already in the middle of the proceedings. So Rav Moshe said that any halacha that affects the whole Medina, we have to follow the halacha, the dina of the medina. He says over here, "V'aser l'shum." At the end of this quotation, "V'aser l'shum bal chov litfos ba'atzmo." It's also for any creditor to grab money on his own, because that's who min adinim shenogei l'chol anshei medina. This is something that affects everyone, the whole country. If there be no government saying, what do you do when a person has not enough money to pay all the creditors and it'll just be a free for all, that would be bad. So the Mamela Haba Bizel the Psaka Rama Dina Machusadina, so the Mamela we have to paskin like the Rama Dina Machusadina in such a case. Now, I think this tshuva is very limited. He's talking about what he said, that people were snatching ahead of time. So there he says, "Din machus adina," because you know we don't live in a Jewish society with Mashiach. We live where people owe money to people that are non-Jews, to, you know, big creditors, and they won't listen to Dinei Torah, and it's their country, and we have to follow the rules of the country when it talks to who gets first. But when the
otherwise men would eat each other alive.
Right. But when the game is over, when the game is over and the bankruptcy is finished and everyone goes home and he goes back into business and 5 years later he has his fortune again, so the government doesn't care if Reuven pays Shimon back the money that he owes him. But that's not Dina Machus Adina. In fact, Rav Moshe in the Tshuva says that Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply to the halachas of Shomrim and to Mazik in Nizkei Behem, or even according to Dina Machusa, if my cow eats up your grass, I don't have to pay, but if according to Choshen Mishpat, I have to pay, because the government doesn't care if Reuven pays Shimon for that type of damage. Things between two Jews, that the government doesn't care about. The Dina Machus doesn't apply there. We're talking about this general thing where the it's in the bankruptcy court and he owes creditors all over the world, all over the country. So if there's no Seder here, the government would be in a lot of trouble. So there we have to follow that government order. But when it's finished, I follow the rules, we did everything we could. Now 5 years later, does the government really mind if Reuven now, who has $1 million out of bankruptcy, pays back Shimon the $1,000 that he owes him?
It won't worry if Reuven pays back, but it may worry if Shimon claims that he has the right to ask for it.
Shimon can't use the secular court as a mechanism to get his money.
Right. Because that's what the discharge order says. The discharge order says Shimon can't come back to Reuven.
Right. So he won't go to the secular court, but he'll go to a din tam and say, look, Reuven, you have money now.
These are Orthodox Jews who were doing the right thing.
And the court doesn't mind that because we just cared about having an equitable situation based on the way it was in 1994. Now, 10 years later, we don't care. We want to answer that.
It cares because
you can't take any action to collect the debt.
Right, and not in the secular court.
In any way, shape, or form.
Let's say you're not taking any action, but let's say that you're the one that owes the money. You have an obligation to pay it back. So there, we're saying there's no dina machus adina that you can't pay it back. That's between the two Jews.
But Vada, you can decide because you can give a matana to someone.
We're saying you still owe the money.
But I'm saying that if the secular court cares, because if Shimon can press his claim against Reuven, then what about Fred O'Brien? He says, just a minute.
My
debt was cancelled. Because the Din Torah will say, Fred O'Brien, you are a secular person and you believe in the secular court, and the secular court holds that you can't make any more claims. And we agree also that we won't make any claims in the secular court, but we know, Api Din Torah, that two Jews who are in such a situation, they're not really mochlid, they're just accepting this as their down payment, but they still are owed the money, Alpi Din Torah, and just like you know in your heart you should pay me back, I have the right to take a Din Torah and have the Din Torah tell you that you have an obligation to pay me back. Right? That's what's happening with the Din Torah. The Dayanim is saying, look, I don't know if we can force you or not, there's a lot of land here, it might be right, but you know, halacha-wise, you still owe him the money and you have an obligation to pay him back. Right, that's what we're saying.
The Pesach Choshen
says that clearly. He doesn't bring Rav Moshe, but I think Rav Moshe doesn't go that far. Rav Moshe was just saying it, the order of the collection. But when it's over, 10 years later, the Pesach Choshen Lashon is b'chi haygavne b'dover she'ein inyan l'malchus, something that the malchus doesn't care about. L'shayach dinu d'malchus lo din apin ben yisrael l'chaveir. That dinu d'malchus shouldn't apply there. Okay, one last issue. Let's talk about minhag ha'medina though. But do we say once there is such a thing as bankruptcy, well now that becomes a minhag? And what's the difference if it's a minhag? That means that when I lend someone money, I realize that there's a law of the land here that you could declare bankruptcy, and I accept that risk. And people do it all the time, and that's the minhag. So Pesach Choshen considers that as an option, but then he says, but it's only a minhag if it happens frequently. Now you probably see more frequency about it than I do, but you know, I think most of us don't hear too much about individual that we hear about, you know, the company's going bankrupt, you know, Macy's and all these go bankrupt, Chapter 11 and all that, but individual people that we know have houses, we don't hear of that. You know, if someone, your neighbor asks you to borrow $500, $1,000, you don't think, well, he might go bankrupt, then I'm just taking that risk, and if he goes bankrupt, so I'll just lose it. So that's what he says at first. Then, however, he brings a Rabbi Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger brought a tshuva. It's also in Simeon Yud Bey, only if you're Gimel, he brings a tshuva from an earlier tshuva, Matzos Moshe, that if all the creditors agree to accept less than their money from a certain lova who doesn't have the money, so the halacha is we force that last creditor to agree to that deal, shekein minik hasofim, because that is the minik of businessmen. And he says pischishuvas mashva, that no kinyan is needed, that there is such a thing called minik hasofim, and that has binding value. But just from the words minik hasofim, that's like if you're in business, there's certain ways of doing business, that, so you know it's a business risk. So that could be, that minik has validity. But if it's just between you and an individual, it's hard to hear. I hear what he says in the beginning, that it would be hard to say that, well, the minig is that if he ends up in bankruptcy, everyone just leaves him alone forever. It's hard to hear that there is such a minig. So reviewing what we've said tonight, when it comes to the Ikar Halacha, when I accepted 30 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar, and I seem to have been mochel the rest, that wasn't the real mechila. Because mechila is only if I do it from my own volition. If you come to me and you tell me about your financial problems, can you delay the collection? Mochel is completely, and I'm mochel, so that certainly I can't change my mind later unless you trick me. But if it wasn't like that, it became a din Torah, became a whole fight and courts and battles, and even if it was a din Torah, and there was a certain pshara made, a compromise made, so that's a din of pshara. A pshara requires the kinyan to be binding, even if I'm the one who's being mochel, even though I'm the one that's getting the, certainly the one has to pay, has to make the kinyan, but even if I'm getting less than I expected, that also requires the kinyan. That's a type of pshara that came about through a risk that I might lose everything, that's why I accepted it. So for that to be binding, I need a kinyan. So therefore, in a typical secular bankruptcy where no kinyan is made of acceptance of this mechila, so I'll pee that the fact that I accepted 30 cents, 70 cents on the dollar, is we don't say, oh, you're mo for the rest. That mechila is not valid because there was no kinyan made on it. Dina de Malchus Adina will have some validity in the initial bankruptcy proceedings, according to Rav Moshe, but later on, between the two Jews and just the Lov himself, should he figure, okay, I'm scot-free now because bankruptcy court? No, because you still owe the money. You had a bad situation, and the government helps you get out of it. They don't force you to ruin your life. They allow you to some breathing space, but now that you have that breathing space and you have the money, you should pay back your debts through Dina de Malchus Adina. Dina Malchus Adina doesn't help you. The only possibility is if there's such a minig that people are always going bankrupt, then it becomes a minig that people expect that if they lend the money, the person will go bankrupt, then they might lose their money back. So then maybe we could talk about there being a minig hasochrim, that's a possibility when you lend such money. But other than that, it would seem that even though the lover declared bankruptcy, he still really deep down, Klapi Shmaya Galia, you know, Hashem looks down and Hashem knows that he still owes the money, and whenever he does get the money, it would be the chiyah for him to return it, and it could be that you could take him to a din Torah. And the Dayanim would say, look, you have a mitzvah, the raisa, to pay the chov. You didn't, just because you declared bankruptcy, wasn't the mechila, they weren't mochli, it was just a situation of the times, and you should pay that chov. I think that's the maskana. Next week, the Neder will talk about corporate bankruptcy, that's a little bit different, and we're nearing the end of the Havala series, and then we'll go on to Dinei Rivis in a few weeks in your session.